Welcome to Yawn Basketball Podcast, the 3-12 Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, ready to trade me away. I mean, the other night, you tried to trade me. I don't blame you. You were trying to get Tom Ziller. But I saw
it. Reports are false. No, look, we explore all the options.
Reports are false? I saw the tweets.
No, those are just media reports. You can't believe the things in the media. The media just makes things up, Zach.
You're in the media.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Fool again.
Caught in your own web of rumors.
What can I say? Ziller's got a lot of upside.
Oh, I mean, no, you make that deal 11 times out of 10.
SB Nation's driving me nuts. They won't make any offers. They're totally unreasonable. They just keep throwing out bad trades.
Well, they've said that they're not going to make any moves at the deadline, but we'll see what happens tomorrow.
It's trade season, man. It's trade season.
I love it.
It's quiet. You hate it.
I hate it. I absolutely hate it because I just don't like the rumors for the simple fact that even the ridiculous ones get bandied about, you know? Like, if it makes sense, I discuss it all the way. I'm fine with that. Like, there was a Wolves rumor yesterday that Denver allegedly turned down Brandon Roy's essentially expiring contract and a first-round pick for Timofey Mozgov. And that seems like a reasonable offer the Wolves could make if they were going to make an offer. So I don't mind discussing something like that. But some of the other stuff is just crazy.
I mean, like trading Eric Bledsoe for Paul Millsap and putting him next to Blake Griffin?
Exactly.
Not making a whole lot of sense. I don't know. Like, here's the thing. I get annoyed because everyone gets also really, at least on Twitter, and really on blogs too. Like, everyone gets really snarky and makes fun of, like, well, this rumor is clearly not true. And I'm always like, look, GMs do crazy things, man. Like, and it's got to drive you nuts, because if you're a reporter and you have a reliable source who you trust, and he tells you something, and you're like, well, it's notable. I mean, are you really supposed to use your discretion and be like, well, that doesn't make any sense?
Right.
And, like, why would they do that? Because it's like, I've seen GMs do lots of stuff that doesn't make any sense.
I mean, we've talked about it before. I wrote about it on the Wolves blog I do last night that, you know, once the information is out there, you have to figure out why it got out there. And just for example purposes, the Mozgov Brandon Roy thing, would it make sense for the Timberwolves to let it be known that a trade offer of theirs was turned down? No. So it could have come from the Timberwolves, but it most likely did not. Would it make sense for Denver to do this? Yes. Why would Denver leak it out? Because they're telling you this is the baseline of what we will not accept for Timofey Mozgov, right? Would it make sense for Mozgov's agent to leak this out? Absolutely, because this is going to be a big man in free agency that is going to get a decent contract. Why don't you want his, you know, you should get his bird rights, or you should get his free agency rights so you have an upper hand in the whole matter. And it doesn't mean it takes away the validity of it all. I think it's just people get mad at a certain trade being declined or a certain trade, you know, being offered, but you have to figure out, one, was this actually offered, or was it just a casual discussion? Like, oh, hey, I was wondering if you wanted to get lunch tomorrow. By the way, like, Mozgov for Roy and a pick, what do you think? You know, there are offers and there are discussions, and sometimes they get confused, and trying to parse that out can be frustrating.
It's like, you imagine the conversation being like, well, would you like Timofey Mozgov? Yeah. Okay, what would you like to give for him? Brandon Roy, a pick. Okay, I think we're done here.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that doesn't mean that they offered, or it doesn't mean they didn't offer. Just the trade talks, for at least from what you hear here and there, it's a weird dance. It's like an eighth grade dance. Nobody knows what to do. They're kind of moseying around, circling the dance floor, trying to see who's trying to catch their eye.
But nobody wants to admit that they want to dance. That's what makes me
exactly,
nuts.
And everybody just wants to hang out by the punch bowl.
That's what makes me crazy. Like,
it's like, you got Danny Ainge, you got all dressed up, you came to the party. Don't tell me you don't want to dance.
Exactly.
Why did you bring an awesome cheesecake if you didn't want to be a part of the party?
The Celtics are hilarious to me because it's nothing but constantly, look, we're not going to make a deal. We love this team. We believe in this team. You know, I just don't think there's a deal. Things have really cooled off for us. And at the same time, someone in the organization is leaking to five different reporters the same thing. It's one thing if you got one guy that's talking to one guy in the organization. But clearly, based off of the information that we've seen from reliable people, including our own Ken Berger, multiple people in the organization are talking to me and like, well, yeah, we're talking to everybody. Like, we are desperate. We're trying to figure out how to move Pierce so we can move Garnett. Like, we've reached the point where they're literally trying to force Garnett out. They're trying to, like, not do it. They're trying to do it tastefully.
They're just like, man, Kevin, your Malibu home is awesome. If I were you, I would try to live there all year round.
It's almost like, oh, no. Oh, I hadn't even thought about what happens if we trade Pierce. You're not going to be happy. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
God.
Do you want to trade you too?
I mean, okay. Who wouldn't you want to play with right now?
Like, you know, I mean, I applaud the fact that Angel's at least exploring blowing it up, because
that's what he should do. You should have your options open.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is,
there are like four teams in the league that are like, yeah, I don't know, seven or eight teams in the league that should not look into doing that.
Teams get really, or GMs get really annoyed, and you heard the same thing. Berger reported last night that Ferry's usually not going to make a deal just to make a deal line.
Yeah.
Which is fair. It's almost insulting at this point, and this is like way too inside basketball. But it's one where if he's saying that, he's saying that to the fans who already know that, or the other GMs who already know that. Like, nobody's like, oh man, I could totally rip Danny Ainge off right now. Like, no, you feel that way about certain GMs. Like, everyone talking to Phoenix is like,
yeah. Speaking of Phoenix, there is a trade rumor with them right now.
Yeah, there's actually several.
The one I'm interested in is the idea of, I believe it's Gortat and somebody to the Thunder for Perkins, Jeremy Lamb, and a conditional first round pick, right?
If that's the Toronto pick.
If it's the Toronto pick, oh my God.
That's pretty good.
How do you not do that if you're Phoenix?
That's pretty good.
Lamb is a, you know, some, I'm not that high on him, but some people are. At worst, I think he'll be a, you know, an inefficient chucker, which will actually make me like him more. And then the Toronto pick, it's a very good chance you're going to have a decent first round pick added to your lot.
I mean, the money for Perkins isn't great. That's kind of the balance is, you know, do you really want to bring on Perkins and pay him the money for what he is?
Right.
But, I don't know, I'm always of the opinion that I just don't understand. I've never understood keeping a guy around when he's that unhappy, when you know that you don't want him and he doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
Like, I get, like, you want to make sure you suck all the value out of everybody. It's like, look, it's Martin Gortat. Like, let's move on here. Right. I think he's a Thunder fan this morning was like, do you think this makes him, could this be the piece that helps them defeat the Heat? No.
Like, not Martian. The piece that helps them defeat the Heat is Durant and Westbrook. That's what it is.
Well, to me, actually, I was thinking about this. And let's do this little side tour. We'll do a little side tour and we'll come back. I was thinking about this morning. To me, the entire key, because what Westbrook's going to get his and Durant's going to get his. I don't think the Heat deny that at all, and that wasn't. Westbrook didn't have a great final series, but he also didn't have a terrible one. He was aggressive as he always is.
Yeah.
To me, it's Ibaka. Ibaka has to have a, like, that's kind of the difference between the Spurs series and the Heat series. There are a lot of them.
Well,
it's a difference.
James Harden was pretty bad in the finals too.
Yeah. Well, he's gone, so it's kind of.
So then Kevin Martin.
Right. I think the spot up shooters is kind of that element. Right?
Yeah.
And the Thunder arguably have better spot shooters now because even if they roll out like a Reggie Jackson Westbrook lineup, Jackson can hit some threes. Surprisingly, the kid's pretty good. I'm not super high on him, but he's not bad. I like that 2-point guard lineup. But to me, it's Ibaka. The biggest thing is Ibaka has to outplay Bosch, and I don't think that's possible, which is why I would pick the Heat again. But I really do feel like the more I was thinking about this morning, I was like, that's the only way I can really see them doing it is Ibaka has to have an absolute all-star, unbelievable, holy crap, he just kicked the crap out of Bosch for four quarters.
Yeah.
Like, he has to have a series like that where he just can routinely, over the course of four quarters, is beating Bosch, making shots, getting rebounds. The rebounding's huge.
Yes, the rebounding, it's huge because even if you keep Bosch off the boards, which isn't a big thing, but Miami's more of a team rebounding team anyway, instead of like a one guy dominating the boards. But let's say you do keep Bosch off the boards. You got to have someone to keep LeBron off, to keep Wade. I mean, they're just such a good team rebounding team in that sense.
So, yeah, so that's part of it. But the answer is no. Marcin Cortina would not be the difference maker, because I had to explain it to him this morning, the Thunder fan. I was like, well, Cortat's really good at the pick and roll. Unfortunately, the Heat are probably the best pick and roll defense team in the league.
Right.
So that's not really going to help you. You can't. And he was like, well, you want to beat them up inside. I was like, yeah. And Gortat could do a little bit of offensive rebounding, but I still like Bosch to handle him.
Right.
I still think that's okay. It's interesting because, like, at the All-Star selection, I was upset that Bosch got it. And then, like, since then I've watched him. I think a lot of it was the Thunder game kind of warped me, because he was fantastic in that game. But I've really been like, man, Chris Bosch is really good.
That's what I've been trying to tell you.
Nice reminder. Like, oh, Chris Bosch is really good. And I knew he was good and great, but it's like, oh, wow, he's really doing a lot on his own. Not just,
yeah, he can play. He can play. He's good. Yeah. They should bring him back for next year.
It's weird that the Thunder are kind of involved in trade rumors. You would think that with them being arguably the best team in the West, right there with San Antonio, that they'd be in kind of Heat territory where it's like, nope, we're good. But instead, they're shopping Mainer and they're looking at this deal. And
I think that there's a money element to it, you know, especially with the Perkins for Gortat deal is true, like that rumor is real, that's clearly like a money grab to me. Because while Gortat is better than Perkins, I don't know that he improves him that much more than Perkins does. And you would be cutting off, you know, a year of $9 million on the cap.
We probably need to, I at least need to probably say that this is the kind of deal that Phoenix should only do for the draft pick. And only if they start liquidating more of their assets, because I can't justify how much I've said that they don't need to bring in veterans and how much they need to not take on money when Perkins has over $18.5 million over 2 years fully guaranteed.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money for Kendrick Perkins.
You gotta believe that you can turn that draft pick, well, it's not going to be four, but it's probably going to be, what, in that 10-11 range?
Yeah.
You got to believe in your scouting department that you can turn that into a player. And they've scouted well with Markieff Morris, and they've not scouted well with Kendall Marshall.
Sorry, we should actually change that. For Raptors fans, the pick will be in the 17, 18, 19 range. For everyone else living in reality, it'll be in like the 10-11 range.
That axe, it is grinding.
Let's just keep that separate. There were Canadian writers this morning complaining because of Sam Amick's lead in his USA Today story, in which he referenced like the cold and the taxes and the cable, and they were like complaining. They were like, writers, please try and use something else in your lead other than that. And I'm like, don't be cold and have better cable.
Right. Like, I mean, all you hear from basketball Canadians on Twitter is, oh, I can't watch this game because it's on ESPN or it's on NBA TV or whatever. Like, it's a real concern for people who like watching basketball. Now, I don't think that's going to keep
an issue.
I don't think it's going to keep player. I don't think people are going to be like, I can't get NBA TV. I'm not going to sign in Toronto. But you know, people like warmer clients and easier cable. It's just a fact.
You don't hear me complaining about people talking about the racism in Arkansas. I'm just saying, it's there. Like,
you don't hear me complaining about nothing to do in Sacramento.
Right. I used to say that the state, when you cross the line into Arkansas, the line should, they all had like slogans. The one for Arkansas should be, "Welcome to Arkansas. Hope y'all brought your own books." I can accept it. Like, you're cold, Toronto, and you have bad sports cable. They embrace it.
And there's not, I mean, you know, whatever. It's White Vegas, right? Isn't that what the Basketball Jones called it?
White Vegas. That's
yeah.
So here's another one that I think is interesting. Eric Gordon popping on the market. I was like, oh, hello.
Now, I am also intrigued by this because I've never been big on Eric Gordon, but I kind of feel like certain teams should sell and try to get him. By certain teams, I mean, I actually mean Phoenix.
I think that most teams that are in a position to really want to make a move, I think there are two guys in the market who, if you get them, your team will suddenly dramatically start to really thrive.
Yeah.
And it's Paul Millsap and Eric Gordon. Josh Smith is a very situation dependent thing.
Yes.
I am getting a little, you're the wrong person to talk to about this. I am getting a little irritated at how far the slander's gone, though. Like, everyone, like, all of a sudden, Josh Smith is, like, this horrible player. Like, he's Kendrick Perkins. And I'm like, no, come on, guys. Like, he does score in the post. He does rebound. He has a really high assist percentage.
That's true. Kendrick Perkins can hit a mid-range jumper now. He's not Kendrick Perkins.
I don't understand.
No, well, I think the problem is because everyone else, you know, the extremes go both ways. Is that he's a bad player now, he's awful, you don't want him, and also this guy is a, you know, this guy should be an all-NBA-er, he's an all-star, blah, 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 he's great, he helps your offense.
Like the Celtics trading for Josh Smith, they're not winning a title. They're not, and it's not really going to, I think it will probably help them, it will make them a lock to escape the first round. It will not make them a lock to escape the second.
Right.
Like, I still like the Pacers in a second round series.
Right, I agree with that.
And I'm high on Josh Smith. It's just really weird to me that, I think it's like mostly the young guys too, and it makes me wonder, like, was I too harsh on them when I was like first started blogging at like 26? Like, was I the same way? Like, was I too harsh on people? Was I talking about, like, I want to go back to the Paroxysm archives and look through and be like, oh, I should have said that about that guy. He was pretty decent. I don't know what I was thinking there. But yeah, the Eric Gordon thing I think is really interesting. There's a lot of teams. The Warriors, apparently the Hornets have called the Warriors and wanted Klay Thompson. And
this is fascinating to me.
It's really a hard one to tell, right?
Because I am not an Eric Gordon guy simply because of the injuries. And when I say that Phoenix should try to reacquire him, it's because their training staff is, you know, the best in the league.
They can rebuild him.
They can rebuild him. They can make him whole. And if you can make him whole, that guy's a hell of a player. I don't know much about the Warriors' medical staff, and I'm also not terribly high on Klay Thompson, but it's a risk to take on that contract of Eric Gordon's if he's not going to be healthy. So it is a very, I don't know, it's a gamble, but I kind of want Golden State to make that call.
I don't think they will because I think they're so high on Thompson. And a Warriors fan this morning told me something interesting, which is that basically he and Curry, essentially, they're both good, but they're not very good together.
Which That's is kind of interesting. Interesting, yes.
I need to look at the splits on it, but it's kind of an interesting kind of idea of, you know, well, okay, would Curry be better with Eric Gordon next time? It's weird because, like, Eric Gordon and Stephen Curry are kind of this weird mirror image of each other where, oh, it's a point guard that shoots a lot, and then it's, oh, it's a shooting guard that handles the ball a lot.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, repetitive ankle injuries. Oh, he's got kind of a knee problem. Oh, kind of has a weird face, and oh, kind of has a weird head.
Kind of has a weird face.
Stephen Curry has kind of a weird face. He's like, he reminds me of like the robot in iRobot a little bit.
Okay. I don't know that I agree with that. I feel like KG looks like the iRobot.
Oh, yeah?
Which would explain a lot. Does his chest glow red when he gets angry?
I think he does, actually.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good comparison. I could go with that.
Steph Curry always looks like an unfinished drawing to me.
Unfinished drawing? Okay.
Yeah. Now, just with the two of Curry and Thompson together, they are a net rating of plus 1.6, which isn't bad. It's also not that great. It's kind of a small...
I would imagine that that's bad compared to a lot of the other combos.
Yeah.
That's what I would imagine.
I mean, they're clearly not hurting you together, but they're not, at least not yet, they're not really putting you at a huge advantage with just that two-man duo, which is, you know, it's a small sample, and it's tough to judge two-man lineups, you know, that deeply, you know, halfway through the season. But it's something. Now, do they believe that as Klay Thompson gets more experience, they can feed off each other better? Probably.
Yeah. I mean, Eric Gordon does help them now.
Yeah.
He does help them now quite a bit.
Let's just say they make the deal and it's, I don't know, it's got to be Beadrin's or I almost said Thomas Jefferson or Richard Jefferson.
We're trading the forefathers.
I mean, I really think the Hornets have to get their team age up. Thomas Jefferson's 300-year-old self would do that.
I think James Madison's got more upside, man. Nobody.
I've always been a John Quincy Adams guy. You do not acquire Martin Van Buren, though.
Now I'm actually looking at these stats, and it doesn't look like that guy's theory holds up. Because Curry's shooting 36% with Thompson on the bench and 45% with him on the floor.
Yeah. I mean, he clearly has...
He's minus 22 with Thompson on the bench. He's plus 52 with Thompson on the floor.
Curry clearly capitalizes on that space. Now, does Thompson capitalize?
I don't know. Let me wait for this report to generate. Awkwardly try and drag it out. Yeah, and it's the same thing here, where when Curry's on the bench, Thompson's minus 40. Curry's on the court with him. He's plus 52. Now, I will say this. When Curry's on the bench, Thompson does shoot better. He shoots 44% from the floor and 45% from three.
Yeah.
Curry's on the bench and 41 and 30 and 37 when Curry's on the court. So it looks like Curry's better when Thompson's on the floor, but Thompson is worse when Curry's on the floor.
Yeah. That makes sense. But that could just be Thompson is a second year player. I mean, they're much worse defensively with those two on the floor than without, but they're also much worse offensively.
Right.
So what we're saying is that tells nothing.
I mean, I would not mind the Hornets making the move either, like moving as much as they gave up to get Gordon, as much as he was the guy for Chris Paul. That's kind of the issue, though, I guess, is, you know, you wind up drafting Austin Rivers with the pick.
Right.
And you got Alfred Camino, who's a quality rotation player, sometimes has a future as a quality rotation player if he pans out right.
Yeah.
But if you trade Gordon for Thompson and cap relief, you know, Biedrins or whatever, you're looking at, you'd have to get a pick back and you have to hit with that pick. Cause otherwise, like, you turn Chris Paul into Austin Rivers, Clay Thompson, Al-Farouq Aminu, and the 10th pick in, or the, like, what, 18th, 19th pick, and the Raptors pick, essentially. Yeah. The 19th pick in a bad draft.
Right.
So, they'd probably be higher, probably be like 24th. So, that's pretty bad. That's not a great haul for your franchise player.
It's not, but at this point, what's done is done, right?
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, you've gone in a different direction. You've gutted the team. You're building around a new player. The thing I would wonder is I actually think that would help Austin Rivers' development. I'm not someone who thinks he's going to be a terrible player his whole career. Like, I think he can actually be a decent rotation guy, maybe even a starter in the league. I just don't think he is as bad as he's playing right now. And if you have if you have him on the floor with Clay, Ryan Anderson, Anthony Davis, you know, maybe that gives him the space to operate and to learn how to operate in that space. Now, I could be completely stupid about that, and he'll be an awful player, but I like the idea of spreading the floor and letting, because his strength has always been go at a guy. And not that you would build your team around Austin Rivers going at guys, but I think that's a way to maximize his ability.
Maybe they'll trade Eric Gordon to Philadelphia for Evan Turner and Thaddeus Young, and then Evan Turner and Austin Rivers can be on the floor together, and I will watch every single minute of it.
That would be an awful, awful thing to do to basketball fans.
It would be like a demolition derby where they're just running at the rim constantly and missing, just all the time.
No, it'd be like the movie Running Man where you're just watching people get murdered by people wearing light brights.
So that was kind of interesting. I'm trying to think what else is out there. You know, it's really weird because people are like, oh, nothing's going to happen. It's just a bunch of talk. And I'm like, man, every time we say this, it gets crazy. Maybe this will be different.
I have no. I was thinking about I have nothing to.
When the Heinrich trade kind of came out of nowhere, where the Bulls were just like, yep, we're trading Heinrich to Atlanta. And it was like, whoa, okay, that happened. And then things just kind of ramped up from there.
I have this theory that has nothing to. No evidence to back it up because I'm not going to do the research. But I feel like every time we think it's going to be a big trade deadline, it's kind of mediocre, and every time we think it's going to be a little quiet, it's kind of big.
Yeah. And we thought this one was going to be relatively big, so maybe this one will be quiet.
Yeah. It's weird that – I mean, I guess it's not weird, but it's just funny to me that everything is – the Josh Smith deal is the domino to fall, you know, before things start happening.
Yeah, most of that I think is just based off of the fact that the Celtics can't find a good deal for Pierce. Like that to me is the thing. I think if the Celtics went into total reconstruction mode, then everyone would start moving.
Yeah.
Berger's got a good point. He's been talking about this the last day or so on our site, talking about how yes, teams want to really get under the cap, but also it's a matter of nobody wants to take on money that isn't, that already has it, because they don't want to risk the repeater tax.
Right.
The repeater tax has become like a big element in everything.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually the intriguing part with the idea of the Nets going after Josh Smith, is that they would clearly be saying, we don't care about the repeater tax. We're good with our core of, let's just say they get to keep, you know, obviously they keep Darren, they keep Brooke, they keep Joe, they keep Gerald. We're going to roll with that five and think that five can, plus whatever bench we can scrap together with minimum salaries, can get us anywhere. Which maybe it could, but I think there are certain teams that would be cool just hitting the repeater tax because Prokhorov's not going to do anything. Like he's not gonna say, oh, we need to cut costs. Like that's never gonna happen. So you have to feel pretty confident that those guys can mesh together. Whereas other teams would be, you know, are clearly terrified of it, as they should be. It's something that's gonna restrict a lot with your franchise during the CBA.
So you know that I've been critical of the Nets before, right?
What?
In terms of saying that just spending money is not a good approach from a business perspective. I've kind of changed my mind in the last 24 hours, and I want to explain to you why. So, you know me, I've been on this big interview kick and you also know, like, as a writer, I'm pretty focused on improving. Like, I'm not a guy that just kind of does what he does. Like, I want to get better at what I do.
Sure.
And I do a lot of research into it. So what I started doing is, I'm really fascinated with interviews. I read this fantastic book about how to do an interview by a really famous guy that has done a ton of them. And it's called The Art of the Interview, for those of you listening that care. But what kind of prompted that was, or what the offshoot of that was, I started picking up a lot of magazines. I'm reading actual magazines now I haven't done that in years. But I'm picking up magazines I don't normally read because the interview feature writers that are actually excellent and the structure of the interviews are actually quite good. I started reading, of all things, Vanity Fair.
So you're legitimately reading for the articles.
I am legitimately reading for the articles.
Okay.
Which is actually funny you mentioned that, because the guy that I'm talking about that wrote the book The Art of the Interview actually used to write for Playboy. Funny that you mentioned that. But I started reading Vanity Fair, which I know, like, huge with sports fans. I know, topical, right?
Sure.
But in the latest edition of Vanity Fair is this really great article about Larry Ellison's daughter. Larry Ellison, if you don't know, is one of the richest men in America. And he's made a bid for three NBA teams. He's tried unsuccessfully to get three different NBA teams. Basically because it's like he'll spend, but he's not willing to just – he hasn't basically decided he wants to yet. He could, but he's been like a shrewd business dude and been like, well, it's not worth that. And he's been snaked out from several deals, including like Joe Lacob got the Warriors from him. He was going to get the Warriors.
Right.
He's the guy that wanted to buy the Hornets and move them to San Jose, I believe.
Yes.
So he's got some money. And it's describing his daughter, who he basically gave a $200 million check to and said, go have fun with directing and movies. And she's been fronting all these films, productions, including she fronted the money for both The Master, which she like lost tons of money on because it was obviously a financial disaster but a critical success. And she funded a little film called Zero Dark Thirty.
Which I hear is done quite well.
Not bad. You know, not a bad flick.
Yeah.
My point here is I'm trying to imagine Larry Ellison as an NBA owner, and if he's looking at something like, oh no, I have to pay like $50 million in luxury tax off of a team profit of $700 million. Oh, that's too bad. Like, how much it just does not matter. So now I've completely turned around, and I'm completely fine with Prokhorov doing whatever. Like, bring in Josh Smith. Do whatever you want, because you're going to make so much money in Brooklyn anyway. It really honestly does not matter.
Yeah, I think at this point with Brooklyn, it's just, you know, do you care about winning a title or do you care about being cool, you know? And that would make them cool. It also, maybe they could win a title with that five. I don't find it likely, but it wouldn't be crazy to me if they gelled and found, you know, just found a way to be better than everyone else's best lineup out there. If you have the pockets and you don't care, then yeah, pay the tax. You have to be, but you just, you have to set yourself up to where you're fine with the roster restrictions coming forward.
So, Amy from USA Today just tweeted that the agent for Rajon Rondo, Bill Duffy, tells USA Today that Boston GM Danny Ainge assured him today the Celtics point guard won't be traded.
It feels like Groundhog Day. We know there's six more weeks of winter because at the trade deadline, Danny Ainge has told Rajon Rondo that that he will not be traded. This happens every year.
You just imagine Rajon Rondo driving on railroad tracks. We can do whatever we want.
I didn't say I'm the god. I'm a god. I didn't say I'm the point god. I'm a point god.
Runs into Jason Terry. Bing! Again! Terry!
It's me, Jason Terry! Guess what I'm doing these days? Running around like an airplane after you hit a shot? Bing!
Bing again! This is the most amazing thing that I think has ever happened on this podcast.
At least for us. Probably not the listener, but for us, that was great.
Your friend and mine, Ethan Sherwood-Strauss, this morning was saying how he would not trade for Rondo because he's worried about trading for a guy with an ACL injury. And I actually said that I no longer have an issue with it. I saw that list of guys, somebody showed it the other day on one of the broadcasts, of guys that have gone through ACL surgery and come back and just been basically fine. And it's a pretty extensive list. And everyone goes, "Oh, what about Amari?" And I'm like, that's microfracture. That's a whole thing. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the same thing at all. It's not that ACL surgery is routine. It's not that it doesn't have long-term impacts. It's not that it doesn't suck, because God knows it does. But, I mean, the odds are very good that Rajon Rondo is going to be totally fine in 2 years. He's going to be great.
Yeah, I think with me, it just depends on the player. Like, if Manu Ginobili at 25, or if James Harden, you know, now, tore their ACL, I would be worried about them long-term, because those guys are very side-to-side.
Right.
Rondo, Rubio, Rose, Shumpert, these guys are very straight ahead. You know, they don't do a whole lot of side-to-side stuff. So just their playing style makes me think, I wouldn't worry about it. I understand if you don't want to do it. I just don't think it's a steadfast, this guy will be fine or this guy won't be fine. I mean, you really have to trust your training staff going forward. And the one thing I would worry about is getting the guy in the middle of his rehab or, you know, just after, because you're going from possibly one training philosophy to another. That could be tricky. But if you trust your training staff, you know, I say go for it.
Would you trade for what would you trade for Rondo right now? How much would you give up?
I would give up one. I would give up one mildly enticing. Like, let's pretend Jeremy Lin didn't exist anymore and the Rockets were going to trade for Rondo. I would give up Terrence Jones and a first-round pick.
That's it?
And I don't know. Like, I don't think that – I wouldn't give up multiple young guys for him. But I would give up – and I might give up a first-round pick of mine and a first-round pick of another team that I own. And then salary cap – relief, however that works out.
See, I would trade Josh Smith, a first round pick, and Kyle Korver.
See, that sounds like a lot to me. I mean, you're clearly fine losing Josh Smith in that situation, so you're selling high on him, but then I don't know, you got the whole T Rondo thing and then you lose.
Actually, I might do that. I might trade Smith and Teague for Rondo and I would want Jeff Green, but I also want a third team involved to get me something better.
You'd want Jeff Green's contract?
I think if you're Atlanta, you can handle it. I mean, people don't – like, this is the thing I wanted to talk about. These teams are so far under the cap next year. It's okay. You can take on a deal. I mean, yeah, Jeff Green, the contract is too much for what he was worth at the time, and it's not he hasn't played to being worth it. He's been decent. He's been worth probably, I'd say, maybe $5 to $6 million over the last 2 months or so.
Sure.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
So you're overpaying by about $3 million a year if he doesn't improve at all. I still feel like he's going to be a pretty movable contract, if not next year, then the year after. And it's like, it fills a roster spot. And they've got so much cap room. Like, you got to do something with it. Again, well, it's one where it's like, I look at the restricted or the list of free agents this summer, and I'm like, would I rather get Jeff Green and just put that money down right now, or wind up giving somebody else something really ridiculously stupid? You know?
I think that for me, Jeff Green having 3 years left on his deal is the problem, not for next year, but if you want to make moves a year from now. Like, yeah, they have a bunch of cap room now. What about when they have to, what about when they keep acquiring players and then they decide, oh, we don't want Jeff Green anymore, but he's got 2 years, $18 million, $19 million left on this deal. Now we have to move him. Now we have to include a pick to move him in order to get what, you know, to get rid of his contract. I just worry about down the road with a guy like that with 3 years left at big money, because I felt like we all agreed that the problem before was giving mediocre guys $9 to $10 to $11 million
right
each year, and he's a mediocre guy who could be above average making $9 million a year. So that's what worries me there, not so much the talent level, but just the terms of that deal. Yeah, you got to get to a certain salary for next year, and they have a ton of cap room, but they also have a goal of they're going after Dwight Howard, they're going to go after this guy. Does he help them do that? And once they do that, is he movable if it doesn't work next to, like, say they get Dwight Howard, and he's not the next Rashard Lewis, who people forget was actually pretty good, you know? Then how do you move him without having to sacrifice too much to pair with him?
Those are my concerns. Frank Kenberger of CBSSports.com. You guys need to follow on Twitter at KBergCBS, K-B-E-R-G, CBS, on Twitter, because he's got all of the breaking stuff on the trade stuff that Zach and I don't do because we're not important enough.
Right.
He just tweeted, I'm told the, quote, right deal for Rondo would be Dwight Howard, Chris Paul, or a massive haul of assets like Denver got from Melo. Not happening.
Woo.
So it appears that Terrence Jones, our first-round pick, may be a little bit below what Boston wants for him.
And this is why I'm a shrewd GM.
I would like to see you for a debut at GM, though, and do these things where you're like, I'll give you Terrence Jones in the first round. You're like four-time All-Star. I mean, it's conditional.
Yeah.
But it's a first-rounder.
I would just say, remember the movie Friday Night Lights? That guy tore his ACL, and he never played football again. Remember Varsity Blues? What happened to Lance Harbor?
What happened to him? Does that make Kevin Garnett tweeter in this situation?
Kevin Garnett's always tweeter. Kevin Garnett is tweeter and Billy Bob at the same time.
He's getting better and better.
And he's also Jonathan Moxon when he's in a biology class.
I'm a little surprised. I'm a little irritated, honestly, Houston. They had this fantastic draft, and they're just like throwing them all around. Jeremy Lamb's gone. They're willing to throw Terrence Jones away for a first-round pick. Like,
yeah, but the Jeremy Lamb one, they sold high. They got a franchise player.
Yeah, they did. I get that. That one was worth it. I'm also just like... I don't know. I'm irritated because I would trade Patrick Patterson and keep Terrence Jones. Because Patterson has more value on the trade market right now, and Jones has more potential upside.
Here's the thing, though. Terrence Jones, what's the best nickname he could get? Terry? That's not intimidating. No offense to Terry Cummings. Patrick Patterson? I love the two-pat. The pat-pat? Two-pat? That's a great nickname. You have to factor that in for marketing.
My favorite is when they say two-pat for sure. That's my favorite. This has been more fun than I thought it was going to be today. This is going to be kind of depressing.
Yeah, see, I don't mind talking about rumors when I can just make movie references the whole time.
Make movie references the entire time.
Yeah.
I wish I could remember what caused me to think of Gremlins 2 the other day. I thought about something that reminded me of Gremlins 2.
Anytime I see a paperclip, I think of Gremlins 2.
Gremlins 2.
Yeah.
That movie's underrated.
Oh, it's fantastic. the personalities of the gremlins, they really brought them out. It was great.
Spider gremlin. Bat gremlin.
The reporter. I think there was a gremlin. Well, there was
New York scene, really.
There was the flasher gremlin, which was great.
Oh, that was good, too.
There was kind of like a prostitute gremlin, which was maybe not for kids.
Maybe not appropriate.
Yeah. But then I'm fine with Howard the Duck, with a duck sleeping with a woman. That's fine. So maybe I'm fine with the prostitute gremlin.
My good friend Chris Vernon from Memphis, Greg Memphis Radio.
Look at you name dropping.
I'm not name dropping.
My good friend Chris Vernon.
How's that name? And by the way, if I'm name dropping Chris Vernon, we've hit a new low.
That's true. Next week I'm gonna try to get my good friend Jim Peterson, Wolves during color commentator.
Memphis radio host Chris Vernon at Chris Vernon Show. Who I don't know at all.
You want to give out his address while we're out?
Send his wife something nice. He reported this morning that the Grizzlies are making a push for J.J. Redick.
Yeah, I like that. I still like that.
I'm sold on it. I was concerned about it in the beginning, but that was when I was like, oh, no, the Grizzlies' chemistry is so good. Why would you mess with that? Now I'm like, Grizzlies' chemistry is a flaming ball of fire. Fix it now. So, I'm pretty on board with that.
Do you want to do games?
Yeah, let's do games.
You got a full slate.
We actually talk about some basketball, theoretically.
Yeah, 11 games on the schedule.
Am I working on that? Of course I'm working on that.
I got a home game.
Of course you do. Swear to God.
By the way, it has taken away every Wednesday night I have for like the last 2 months. I'm not complaining. Just I've got friends in a rec league that I was supposed to help out play basketball. It hasn't happened. I've played like 2 games.
I don't have to work tonight. I'm very excited.
Oh. Royce and his broken computer.
Royce and his broken computer are going to do it. That was the other running thing of the weekend was, like, Zach was just gone. Zach, like, just vanished. We have, a campfire chat where we kind of check in on everything and share news and, like, oh, hey, I'm going to do this. And, like, Zach was just gone. I thought he was, like, on some sort of, like, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas ether binge. I thought it was you wandering around the Toyota Center with people looking like lizards. That's what I thought with the situation it devolved into, because you were just gone. That was actually the real reason I called. I was not calling to see what we were riding on. I was just like, is he dead?
Oh, I got the text messaging. I pay for that.
But then Royce's computer just died.
Yeah.
And I'm trying not to be a jerk about it, because I'm a Windows guy, or like I'm a PC guy, and all the Mac people are like, my Mac never breaks. And so I'm trying not to be a jackass about it, and be like, how's that working out for you? Because then my computer will die, because I've lost like 3 in 4 years.
I've never had a problem. Mac guy.
I hope you just jinx the hell out of yourself.
after I record this, I'm going to throw it out the window and prove how strong it is.
Okay, your Wolves are giving 3 to them Sixers tonight.
Giving 3? Goodness.
Giving 3.
Still favored to do stuff.
They like this team. Vegas, oh my God, kind of likes this team for whatever reason. They play hard. Both teams play hard.
Sure. I mean, they get down early. They get down big early. And then they come back. And then they lose by a couple. Which happens a lot.
Fortunately for you, the Sixers can't score at all.
That's true. And.
At all.
The Wolves are hot from three-point range over the last 8 games.
How important are they shooting?
33%.
Oh, God.
That was the thing. Zach Lowe tweeted out that over Danny Green's last 8 games... he's 30 of, like, 52 from three-point range. He has made, in 8 games, one player, Danny Green, has made 14 fewer threes than the entire Timberwolves team. They've made 44 over the last 8 games. Like, people thought I was being dramatic about this. Sure, they've gotten above 30% on the year. They're 30.1%. But they're still really awful at shooting threes.
In a league that's really dependent on it now.
Yes!
That's bad.
Yeah, I take the Sixers with the points.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm giving. I think the Wolves, I don't like the Sixers team on the road.
It's a win-win for me.
And you have to factor in the fact that Evan Turner may be one of the players. I said it this morning. This is national. Random player has been held out for minor injury you hadn't heard about before day.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he's got a calf. It's always a calf. Oh, no, he's just got a calf problem.
Somebody asked me if the Wolves should trade Derek Williams for Evan Turner. I was like, so we can just have a different disappointing number two pick.
I'm not gonna lie. I really want Evan Turner to get traded.
Yeah, I'd be fine really with that.
I want him.
I like him. Free. He's decent.
I don't know. He's decent. I just want him to have another chance to be somewhere else.
Yeah.
The Hawks are getting 5.5 at home versus Miami. I think that one's pretty easy.
And Josh Smith is practicing. He was at shoot-around.
Oh no! All the hamstrings acting up. Oh, that's a shame.
Sinuses.
The Bucks are, here's one. The Bucks are giving 4 at home to the Nets on a back to back when they played last night and they lost and they played and the Bucks lost in overtime.
Here's my advice. If you find yourself in a close game tonight, maybe double Joe Johnson.
Maybe throw a blanket on him, wrestle him to the ground, throw some sort of net on him.
Luke Richard Mbamute.
Because he's a net. See what I did there?
I should just cut this podcast off right now.
No, see, because he's Joe Johnson, he plays for the net, so it's like you put a net on a net. Like, yo, dog.
I so badly want you to get hit by a car in your house right now. I want a car to just drive through the wall like the Kool-Aid Man.
Second floor too, so I'll take Milwaukee. I'll give the points tonight just because I don't like teams. I think it's hard to be a team back to back.
Yeah, I'd probably. Although Brandon Jennings did use up a good game last night. He was good. He was like legitimately good.
It must have been disorienting for you.
It was really weird. And Monte Ellis almost had a triple double in the same game, and they lost. You can't waste games like that. I'm gonna take the Nets.
Okay. I've under the gave him their best shot and still lost.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And these two teams have actually played really competitive. It's a shame we don't get a playoff series out of them that no one would watch except me.
Right.
Because it would actually be kind of interesting.
It'd be you and Noam Schiller.
You need a Noam. Larry Sanders. It's Larry Sanders, 6 blocks last night.
Yeah, he's fun. He's officially, he's officially fun.
Sweet kid, too. The Warriors, who have been an absolute train wreck, are given 8 to the Suns.
I like that.
The Warriors?
Train wreck or not, you got to trust yourself. I mean, at home against the Suns, I know the Suns just won in Portland, but...
Klay Thompson's, I think he got a spleen acting up, though. So. His urinary tract's got a problem.
You know, Martian Gortat's got food poisoning. Then toenail fell off.
Strained tongue, Martian Gortat. Questionable. I'm going to go with the Suns. You know, they got a big win last night versus Portland. They're playing pretty competitive, even on back-to-back. Golden State's on back-to-back as well, and I just don't trust Golden State's defense.
Here's the thing. Portland's bench last night had their point total doubled by Wes Johnson.
No, and I get that the Portland's... I mean, you and I are not surprised at this. You know, I've been saying right. Portland's bad since the beginning of the season.
Right. And that's why I just don't think Wes Johnson's going to have 14 points again.
I'm that worried about the Warriors' defense right now.
Yeah, that's fair. They got smoked last night.
This one, here's your good-bad game of the night. The Cavs are given 2.5 versus the Hornets.
I thought you were going to say Celtics-Lakers.
Oh, we'll get there. Pretty bad, too.
Wait, what did you say? Cavs are doing what?
Cavs are given 2.5 to the Hornets.
I'd probably take the Cavs there.
I like the Hornets there. They've been playing better, even with Eric Gordon inevitably having a amygdala contusion. Questionable brain tumor.
Now you're just making body parts up.
No, man. I got a degree in psych, amygdala, part of the brain. I don't remember what part because I was drinking the whole time. Still. Man, here's a line for you. The Lakers are given 7 to Boston.
That's a lot of points. Although.
If LA was given 7 to Boston, you'd say it was the Clippers.
over the last 12 games, Lakers are like 8-4.
Yeah, I was looking at that too.
It's a new season.
I was looking at that too. It's like, oh, they're 8-4, but but no one remembers that because they just know it's the games that are like nationally televised, in which they're so bad,
in which they get smoked. We didn't mention this yesterday, but it is. I mean, it's obviously very sad, but it's very sad the passing of Jerry Buss. You know, I know he's been. You know, some people haven't liked him. Some people have thought he's perpetuating this bad big market overpowering the small market kind of thing. But the guy was a phenomenal owner and a phenomenal figure for the NBA. And that it sucks that he's gone.
I don't think anybody like blamed him for using the market to his advantage.
Yeah,
he's just a shrewd businessman.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, I don't think that it's sad for pretty much everybody, and the outpourings have been really emotional. And
yeah,
everyone feels like the business really lost a giant. So
yeah, for sure. In honor of him, I'm taking Lakers and laying the points.
Okay, you know what I'm doing.
You're riding the Celtics.
Riding the Celtics all the way to glory, baby. Despite Kevin Garnett not body parts, I don't even have anything.
Kevin Garnett is out with a murder charge.
Wow. Rockets are getting 3 at home versus the Thunder. Just 3. Wow.
Yeah. That's a fun matchup.
Over under 219 points.
I would go over.
I hope this one goes to overtime.
Yeah. I would go over on that. Also, okay, so we got Thunder visiting James Harden. Also have Grizzlies visiting Rudy Gay tonight. Big reunion tour happening in the NBA tonight.
Raptors are favored by 1.
Ooh. Ooh, I don't know if I like that.
I'm tempted to take Toronto just because I think Rudy's going to have a big game because he's still riding the emotion.
Yeah.
And Memphis is on a back-to-back on the road. I don't know, though. Raptors aren't good. Like, there's only so many bad teams. I'm taking Boston every time. There's only so many bad teams I can continuously ride every night.
Yeah.
You know what? They're at home. I'll take the Raptors. I'll stick with them for one more game.
I'm trying to think of, like, a Memphis-based rapper who could be in Toronto tonight to start a fight with Rudy Gay.
That was crazy.
That was great. I mean, they didn't start a fight. Like, they were joking, but Wale did go up to the Raptors announcer crew. That's weird. Oh, I mean, I guess if you're Wale, you don't want people saying on TV that Drake is better than you. They claim they were just joking around. That was weird. That was legitimately weird.
We're having some problems with rappers in the NBA these days.
Yeah.
Lil Wayne and
I know.
Wale. Like, by the way, I didn't know how to pronounce it, so thanks for saying it first.
No problem.
I can give you a huge breakdown of how to pronounce country music stars' names, but I am not good with the hip nor hop. I don't even... I'm not going to say that.
I actually was curious where you were going with that.
I'll tell you after.
Okay.
It's something offensive. It's
that's awesome. Now I'm going to get about 100 tweets about it. What was he going to say?
What was he going to say? Pacers given 3.5 versus the Knicks.
At home, I like the Pacers.
Yeah.
That team is just... They are destructive at home.
That's true. Yeah, I'll go with the Pacers as well. Bobcats are getting 3 versus the Pistons at home. Pistons are on a back-to-back.
Yeah, I think I like the Bobcats there. I don't like what I've seen from the Pistons lately.
Charlotte's on back-to-back, too. They won last night, so... I'll go with the Pistons just because they were competitive in that game against Memphis and then just completely fell apart. Memphis just blitzed them in the third quarter. Mavericks giving 11 to the Magic. I think we're both okay on that one.
And that we don't...
cemented themselves as the worst team.
Yeah, and that we don't want to watch it.
Yeah. Yep. I hope Cuban makes a trade. We need some Cuban tradeness.
He'd be the one to do it.
Need some shrewd Cuban up in here.
Make room for Dwight Howard and Brandon Jennings this summer.
Okay, who's going to have more points tonight, Russell Westbrook or James Harden? We both agree Durant will have the most, but who's going to have more points?
I actually think Westbrook has the most out of all three.
Yeah.
I think he'll go nuts.
Lynn Gardner?
Yeah.
That makes sense. Good stuff, Zach. Well, if you guys are So we've got trade buzz up. It's going to be updating pretty much every hour, hour and a half as soon as stuff comes in. If a trade comes in, we're going to have it up immediately. We'll have analysis. We'll have breakdowns. We'll have grades of the trades, everything. Like we beat this thing to death.
Everything you can throw in our face 3 months from now, we'll have it.
We're going to have it. So favorite it and save it and do all that other stuff. Follow us on Twitter at IonBasketball. Catch Zach at TalkHoops. Catch me at MattMoreCBS. Those of you listening to my other account, don't say anything. And yeah, thanks for joining us.
Tradepocalypse 2013. Woo! Woo!